Mahmoud, Izmir, Turkey, 2015, 11 days from home. Mahmoud screamed. He howled louder than a fighter jet, and his parents didn't even tell him to hush. Lights came on in houses nearby, and curtains ruffled as people looked out at the noise. Mahmoud's mother broke down in tears, and his father let the life jackets he carried drop to the ground. The smuggler had just told them their boat wasn't leaving tonight. Again.
No boat today. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, he told Mahmoud's father.
It was exactly the same thing he told Mahmoud's father the day before, and the day before that, and every day for the last week. A text would come telling them to hurry, hurry, out to the beach, and every time they would pack up what few things they owned, grab the life jackets, and rush through the streets of Izmir to this parking lot, and every time there would be no boat waiting for them. First it was the weather, the smuggler said. Then another family that was supposed to go with them hadn't arrived yet. Then it was the Turkish Coast Guard patrols, or the boat wasn't ready. There was always some reason they couldn't leave. It was like some cruel schoolyard game of keep away. Mahmoud and his family were at their wits' end. This off and on again business was tearing them apart. All except for Walid. Lifeless Walid, who didn't flinch when bombs exploded.
I want to go back to Syria. I don't care if we die, Mahmoud said after he'd let out his scream. I just want to get out of here.
Even as he said it, he heard the whine in his voice, the pathetic toddler-like frustration. Part of him was embarrassed. He was older than that, more mature. He was almost a man. But another part of him just wanted to stomp his feet and pitch a fit, and that part of him was getting harder and harder to keep quiet. Little Hannah started crying too, and Mahmoud's mother tried to calm them both by pulling Mahmoud into a hug.
Look at it this way, Dad said. Now we have more time to practice our Turkish.
No one laughed.
Let's get back to the mall before someone takes our place, Mom said wearily.
Mahmoud carried the life jackets so his father could carry Walid, who quickly fell asleep on his father's shoulder. His mother carried Hannah. Even though Mahmoud hated the desperate feeling of defeat in going back to the mall, at least it meant not sleeping outside in the park. But this time, someone was waiting for them at the mall entrance. There were two of them, both Turkish men, in matching blue tracksuits. One of them was muscular with curly black hair, a thin beard, and a thick gold chain necklace. The other was overweight and wore mirrored sunglasses, even though it was night. He was the one with the pistol stuck in the waist of his pants.
You want inside? You gotta pay rent, the burly man told them.
Since when? Mahmoud's father said.
Since now, the man said. We own this building, and we are tired of you Syrians freeloading.
More bullies, thought Mahmoud, just like in Syria. Mahmoud's legs went numb, and he thought he might fall over. He couldn't bear the thought of walking any farther, looking for a place to live again.
How much? Mahmoud's father asked wearily.
£5,000 a night, the muscular man said.
Dad sighed and started to put Walid down so he could pay the man.
Each, the man said.
Each? Per night?
Dad said. Mahmoud knew his dad was doing the math in his head. There were five of them, and they'd already been here a week. How long could they afford to pay £25,000 a day and still have enough for the boat and whatever came afterward?
No, Mahmoud's father said.
Mom started to protest, but he shook his head.
No! We already have all our things. We'll find someplace else to stay. It's only until tomorrow.
The big man chuckled.
Right, tomorrow.
Mahmoud staggered along behind his parents as they roamed the streets of Izmir looking for some place to sleep. His parents carried Walid and Hannah, but not him. He was too old to be carried anymore, and for the first time, he wished he wasn't.